If you notice that second paragraph, it says the seeking system of the brain is what moves people to explore and learn, right? A culture where employees are activating their seeking system includes psychological safety, fail forward, and trust, okay? So in other words, these are three characteristics. If we can create an environment or a culture that has these ideas, that has this sort of, these concepts sort of integrated, then there is this seeking system. Now, what's meant by a seeking system? Seeking new things, right? That curiosity, that excitement to try something new. Because many employees come from, if I do something new and it doesn't work, I'm gonna get reprimanded. Or maybe told I shouldn't do it that way, right? And so they shut down. Or some people grew up with that. So we wanna try to open that up. And these are three characteristics that we can work on, right? Psychological safety, I think that makes sense. Trust makes sense. What does fail forward mean? Can anybody tell us what fail forward means? I think it's fairly self-explanatory, but what does that mean? Try, yep, try for sure, yep. We have to start somewhere. Fail and use it as a learning. Very good, Brandy, yep. Now, you probably all heard the example of Thomas Edison and the light bulb, right? It took him something like 2,000 tries to get it right. And somebody came to him and said, how do you feel about the fact that you failed 1,999 times at making a light bulb? And he looked at him and he said, I didn't fail. I found 1,999 ways to not make a light bulb, right? So there's an attitude of fail forward. So you can always learn, like we said, exactly what Noreen said. We can learn from mistakes, but we want to create that concept. We want to create that. So what I want to do is just in a quick discussion, about 2 or 3 minutes worth, tell us what you can do as a leader to create these concepts, these mindsets, or build these traits within your team. How can you create psychological safety? In other words, it's okay to make a mistake, right? You're not going to get reprimanded. You're going to get, you know, you may get corrected, but you're going to get credit for trying. How do you create a fail forward? How do you create trust? What can you as a leader do to help make that happen? So Brandy says right off the bat, it's in the delivery. So Brandy, you know, I'm going to ask you to expand on that a little bit. Can you tell us an example of what would be an effective way to deliver that? If you would, sure, you got it. You got a second. Anybody else? Maybe it's something that you have done. Angela said, share when I make a mistake. Absolutely. When you show your vulnerability, you make mistakes and you're okay with it and you show how you learn from it, then other people will follow that lead, right? But if you're getting down on other people or keeping it quiet, then they're not going to have that ability to do it for sure, right? Or that comfort level to do it, right? Constant positive feedback, Denise said. Beautiful. Yeah, love it. Noreen said, be able to receive constructive criticism. Good. Demonstrate the willingness to be open to it. As somebody once told me, and I've really tried to adopt it, all feedback is a gift, even when it's aggressive, even when it's not done in a nice way. Because if you can weed out and take out all the information, you can use that as something positive, right? Own up to your mistakes. Demonstrate how you plan to fix it. Good. Find the error. Explain the error, Brenda says. Right. Beautiful. You guys got it, right? So you want to continue to expand on this. Think about your own specific environment, your own team, and what can you do to be able to create this in the culture, right? Because if you can do this, people feel more free to be innovative, right? And these are the key areas to do that in, okay? And I want to go over now and shift over to effective way to do the brainstorming process, also known, as we mentioned earlier, as rapid ideation. We're going to talk a little bit about something. Ideation or brainstorming involves something called divergent thinking. But divergent thinking, there's two types of thinking in a problem-solving concept. There's divergent, which is creating options, and it's called divergent because, as you can see, it begins with a single problem, quotes around the word problem. Remember, we define problem in a couple of different ways. And then generating ideas, which are options. They're not necessary solutions, but they're potential solutions, okay? And then the convergent thinking is taking all of those ideas and making a decision on the best way to do it, okay? So the divergent part is what we're going to talk about here. It involves brainstorming. It involves being creative, everything we've talked about so far. And it also involves no limits, no limits. Now, I want to point something out in this slide. You can see there's these two red dashed lines, one that goes across the top, one that goes up across the bottom. That represents the limits of our thinking. The limits of our thinking, right? Notice the divergent thinking is within those limits. Should divergent thinking or creative thinking remain within the limits? Now, what do I mean by limits? Our budget, the amount of time that we have, the resources that we have, right? Anything along those lines. Should we tell people, here are the rules, now make sure that you think within those rules with any ideas you have in the brainstorming part, or should we allow them to go outside of those limits when we're brainstorming? Inside or outside, what do you think? Cheryl, first one to say outside. We got a few outsides. I agree with y'all. Y'all saying outside, right? Why? Janice says freedom. Why do we want to let people go outside the, don't color outside the lines. We probably all heard that as kids, right? Why do we want to let them do that? And I give you a hint, we sort of mentioned it already. Why do we want to allow that? Think of things not thought of before. Beautiful, Crystal, you got it, right? So we remember that we often get a good practical idea from ideas that are way out there, right? So if you want to really look where those lines should go, it should look, now watch the screen, it should look like that, right? So those limits are not limiting our thinking. Our creative thinking goes outside those limits, and then we come back and converge on them when we're making a decision, okay? So if you notice at the top of page 6, and you'll see this on the, there's sort of a process for rapid ideation. So you share the context of the topics, like audience, budget, et cetera, but you don't leave it there, right? You don't just say you have to think within those. You mention these up front. Now let people generate ideas outside those lines, go through the ideas, refine them, repeat, and then start to come back together. So this is all the ideation part, right? And there's a couple of concepts that go with this I think are really crucial that can really help generate this. And there's two different things. Some of you may have heard these. Two different concepts I want to share with you that are not in the book. The first one, there's two methods. The first one is gap analysis. Gap analysis. I think we've all probably heard of that. Some of you may use that regularly in your work. It's how do we get from point A to point B? But what I want to do is I want to put this in the form of a question. Okay, in terms of asking effective questions or intentional questions, as we talked about before. Okay, so here's a good way to define gap analysis. So again, we're using the art of questioning. What should we keep or lose from our past and create in our present to get to our future? I love this method of defining gap analysis. What should we keep or lose from our past and create in our present to get to our future? What is that telling us? We want to keep things that are working well, right? We want to add new things to enhance it, hence innovation, that will get us forward to whatever our goal is, right? So I love this if we think about it. It's not scrapping the whole thing, but it says let's analyze in three different ways. What do we keep that we had? What do we add to it that will enhance it, make it better, that will get us to that vision or to that goal that we're trying to create, okay? If you brainstorm asking a question like this, you'll find people are very clear on where they're trying to go. And you can kind of create a process out of what's meant by this, right? The second part is using a concept called mind mapping to generate ideas, okay? Mind mapping. Now, some of you may have heard of what mind mapping is. Mind mapping is basically diagramming the way the brain thinks, the creative brain thinks, okay? Creativity is not done, as we said, in a linear format. So if we stand up in front of the room as leaders with a flip chart and write down lists of ideas, that limits the thinking, because basically what it says is only focus on the last thing listed, okay? So what we want to do is something like a mind map. Now, I'm going to show you an example of what's meant by mind mapping, and it's asking questions like this. What do we need to do? How are we going to do it? Who's going to do it? When are we going to do it, et cetera, and answering those questions, okay? So here's an example, and again, we're going to just take the time to show you an example here, but you can examine this more on your own. But notice what it says. Suppose you have to give a presentation. Let's see if anybody does that. Or virtually now, right? Oh, yeah, lots of you. Okay. So this is kind of neat, so you'll know. And this is sort of a neat little mind map that represents maybe the things that we need to consider, right? Suzette said, unfortunately, biggest fear in the world is public speaking, even more than death. Some of you may have heard that, right? But if you notice here, look what it says. What do we have to consider? Well, the first level of circles, there's five of them, right? If you look at the 1 o'clock position, who's my audience? And you go clockwise, what's my delivery going to be? And location, where's it going to be? What are my visuals going to be? What's the topic going to be? And then we brainstorm on that and we write these ideas down. Now, the benefit of doing something like this to write ideas down versus listening is what? Because the brain isn't linear, it keeps the flow of creativity going. So we may start on audience and generate some of these ideas, then go down to delivery. But someone else may go back to audience and say, I just had an idea for audience. Let's add this in there. right? And then go down to delivery, and then you go to location. Somebody goes, let's go back to delivery. I can add something there. If you create a linear sequential list, typically people only focus on the last thing. So this is nothing more than diagramming in an effective way the brainstorming ideas that are created. So when you do a gap analysis and follow it with a mind map, okay, that's a great way to generate ideas in a brainstorming process.